My name's Reina Garza-Hillman, and you are listening to my dad's podcast.
The Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza-Hillman here with the Approaching the Natural podcast. That was my daughter, Rena, doing that little intro. How was that? Good? Was it? Yeah, right? Cute, right? I got two more where that came from. They might join in here later and do a little intro. If you're just joining me, welcome. And if you have been here before, welcome. Welcome to both of you, people who are here. And I'm glad you're here. This is my weekly podcast that I come here every week to discuss my small steps approach to living better in the modern world, how to infuse more health and happiness into your day-to-day, how to do less of stopping everything to do the things of being health and happy, healthy and happy. I gotta put my life on hold while I go to this retreat. I gotta put my life on hold to do this exercise plan. I gotta put my life on hold to do this diet. I gotta make major shifts to pull these things off because damn it, I want it and I want it now. And 6 months later, I've undone everything and feel like a failure when I should have never done it in the first place, because that's not how you succeed. What a bummer episode this is. No, it's not. You want to know why? Because I got solutions here, man. I talked about it last week. I'm a solution-based podcast. Okay? No lists, no gimmicks, no nothing. Just straight up. Okay? You want to succeed in your life? Do it the right way. Do it once and do it the right way. Don't do repeated times and keep knocking your ass on the ground every time and thinking you're the one at fault. I didn't pull that diet off. I'm a failure. I'll try to be better next time, external authority figure over me, which is a diet, not even a real person. I'll try better. I promise I'll try harder next time I do a diet or a quick fix and get pissed at myself that I didn't make it a long-term shift in my life. I'll do better, I promise. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? I don't want anybody listening to this, neither of you people listening to this ever utter those words of that you failed somehow by not keeping a quick fix designed with an end date that you didn't make that your own, because it ain't you. I'll talk about that today a little bit, getting to it so that it's you and doing it in the right way. The thing about it, I just want to sort of point this out for a second, is that some things that small steppers do look like, you know, on a given day, like a diet or like an exercise plan. They might have the external look of a quick fix. But here's how you know if it's quick fix. It has an end date. Okay? No small steps or no, I'll put it this way, no goal of a small stepper has an end date. There's no, if you're a small stepper and you're in the practice, you might want the end date in your brain somewhere. That's fine. But what you know is that the steps you're embarking upon, the things that you're doing in your life to make your life better, don't have an end date. They are the things that you do day to day to make your life better. You want to know a diet? Got an end date. 12 weeks, 21 days, 7-day cleanse, you name it, doesn't matter. You want a DVD end date? Good. 10 weeks, 9 weeks, 8 weeks, 7 weeks, 50 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day for 21 days, and you get to 6-pack. It's got an end date. Okay? There's no end date to this process. This is a practice. This is something that you do starting literally now, because you can take one deep breath, like I say, while you're listening to this in the car right now. One deep breath. Go. Boom. Good. Got it. You got a step done. Good. The beginning of that. Oh, but that's just stupid. That's just, I went on a meditation retreat for 4 years and my children grew up without me, but dagnummit, I could sit still after that for 20. I was able to sit still. And I would just get up every now and then to eat Sprouts. But my kids graduated from college, and I missed that. But that's okay. There's no end date here, guys. This is a practice. It's a mindset. It's why I come here every week, because it's a practice. Okay? Otherwise, I would have done like 21 podcasts. Follow me through this system, and you're done. Now, am I about to launch a company at some point in the next 6 months that is a system? Yes, I am. But it's not a system to give you a goal at the end of 12 weeks, which it will be a 12-week to say, okay, your scale is going to look like this, your health is going to look like this. It's to teach you the system. There's an end date to the program, but there's no goal associated. You think I'm splitting hairs? You got another thing coming. Because I don't. You look at most diets and quick fixes, they have a real physical in the world goal. At the end of your 21 days, you're going to lose this much weight, or you're going to do this much fitness or something. This is how many push-ups you can do in whatever weeks. This podcast, and eventually the thing I'll talk about later, which is the company and all that kind of crap, but don't worry about that for now. But this podcast is dedicated to putting you in the practice mindset. It's actually partially dedicated to changing the way you even think about health and happiness. This episode is the subject of this episode is about. It's about it's focusing, highlighting, which I do on occasion. I'll highlight a different aspect. If you're just joining me, each week I sort of highlight different aspects. I'll throw in some interviews now and then, but different aspects of struggles or solutions and or both about how to do this better. And that's what that is. So anyway, welcome to one and all, and let's just roll this right on down the hill, shall we? Good. I'm a certified nutritionist and health coach, blah, blah, blah. See, I always think like you're just joining me, so you might want to hear these announcements. For people who've been here before, they're like, oh, for the mother of holiness, I don't want to hear these things. So I skate through them pretty darn fast. If you Google Sid Garza Hillman, you're going to find me on all the social media or a lot of the social media things. The ones that I pay any attention to, I don't know. But I shine a little light on a couple. Strava, for instance, love it. Join it. I'll follow you back. Fantastic. Great. And YouTube, my number one favorite. Okay. Number one favorite social media, YouTube. I can call myself a YouTuber. I can do that now. Okay. I can do that because I've posted 94 videos or something like that. I'm entrenched in the YouTube culture. I've got subscribers a-growing. And by the way, little shout out. Is that cool? I'm not cool enough to say shout out, but I was on the Thought for Food podcast. A month ago, I don't remember. Aaron and Jackson, I those guys are awesome, and I follow them. Thought for Food podcast. It's called like TFF Lifestyle is their deal. And they have a good blog too. Good vlog, because they're good on the old YouTube. In fact, they're pretty fancy on the YouTube. Kind of pisses me off that they are sort of new to it, and they are doing some editing stuff that is kind of blowing my mind. So it angers me. Okay, because health and happiness should be first and foremost about jealousy and envy and just trying to get your rivals down. At the same time, they're awesome, and I will do everything I can to support them because they're cool. And one of the things they did today, which was very nice, is they did a YouTube video on their favorite YouTube channels, and they mentioned mine. Isn't that nice? So anyway, I'm throwing it back at them. Okay, we're just gonna keep lobbing the ball back and forth. He's great. No, he's great. Oh, really? He's great. Until just we're 89. I don't know how I think I'm significantly older than they are. They may be 15. Okay. So what else? Health Made Simple is a meal plan I do. nomadeathlete.com/meal-plan-system. And it's too late to mention this cool holiday bundle that I was involved in that Matt did. So too late on that. Unless you're hearing this early morning, go to No Meat Athlete and check that out. NoMeatAthlete.com. There's like just a ton of cookbooks and this huge package of stuff. Like it's massive, 21 different things. And it's like cheap as all get up. So that was a thing he does every holiday. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, but in the meantime, Health Made Simple is a meal plan system. It's been very successful. And it's not a huge surprise because Matt and I really did a ton of work on it and had a very, very clear goal in mind. It wasn't like, let's float it and see where it goes. It's like, no, let's do it this way because I think this represents us better. And it sort of manifested in that way. And it's a work of, you know, it's a work in progress. We're building and changing and editing and all sorts of cool stuff, but it's real and it's very cool. And it teaches you how to ultimately, I think less about food. So that's how that goes. Okay. Thank you to one and all. I always extend a debt of gratitude, or at least an expression of gratitude every week to the people who have donated to this podcast, left iTunes reviews and or ratings, Amazons, all that kind of cool stuff. Here's the big news. And I, you know, look, it's something. It's something. I'm not trying to feign humility here. Okay. It's kind of cool. I was excited about it, But my podcast, this little podcast that could, because this ain't huge, but it's got a strong engine. Not the fastest engine, but it's a strong engine. Okay? 1 million downloads. Surpassed 1 million downloads. I really, because I'm nutty nut a little bit, really was checking it yesterday going, I really want to catch it right at a million so I can take a screenshot and it would just be like 1,000,000, boom. I may have done too many zeros there, but that's neither here nor there. But I missed it. By the time I went to bed, it was like 25 short. And then in the morning, it was 120 over. But it's what it is, but kind of cool, right? So thank you guys so much. 1 million downloads. That ain't nothing to scoff at, I don't think. I've done a million episodes, so it's one download per episode. But I think that's still fantastic. I think that's something. I do work at the Stanford Inn, stanfordinn.com. All sorts of cool retreats. There's going to be another running retreat in June, I believe, with Matt Frazier, No Mean Athlete, and I, but dates to be determined. But there's this like full-on plant-based, like massive retreat that just got launched. It's super cool. It's like everything. Cooking classes, nutrition classes, gardening class, like an environmental sustainability class. Meals are included, trail runs. Like it's this massive, awesome, and those are optional, by the way. Massive, just yoga, just awesome. All in, when you get there and you're just soaking in relaxation and fun. It's just crazy. So go to stanfordinn.com. Just launch that today. I'm their wellness programs director, so I am the guy who hit the button on that. Okay? At SidGarzaHillman.com, you can find Nutty Nut Nut shirts. Just another order came through today. Thank you. And Nutty Nut Nut shirts. And also books and other t-shirts and stuff like that. Okay? Good. And a free chapter of my, a custom signed copy of my book. And you can get a free chapter of my book by subscribing to my mailing list. Put your email address in. I don't send much. Usually just a podcast announcement. And, I sent the No Meat Athlete bundle announcement, but it's minimal. Dig? Because I'm sensitive about that. I don't want to slam your inboxes with a bunch of crap. Okay? Good. What else? The Mendocino Coast 50K is a race that I direct and I announced last week. It did sell out within a week. I've got 30 people on the wait list. If you're discouraged by that, I highly suggest you get on the wait list anyway. I'll tell you why. Because I already had one cancellation today. Like somebody got injured, and unfortunately, because it's sad. But that's already we're not even like close to the race yet. So I'm gonna get some cancellations. There's just no doubt about it. And as I do, I will invite people in from the wait list. I will tell you, based on last year, I think I had 15 or 20 by the time the dust settled, cancel, plus a few didn't show up at the starting line. And so I will be letting in a fair amount of people. I can't guarantee you, but I just know that's what's going to happen. Okay? Last quick announcement is that I'll be in Marshall, Texas, March 31st to April 2nd. Whoop-de-doo. But you might want to plan on that if you're coming from out of town. They get a lot of people from out of town. That freaking health fest is nuts. I don't know what happened. They like put something in the water over there because people come from all over because Marshall is like a little teeny town. And people come, like thousands, into this flock to this little town. It's like it's the hippie Woodstock. Okay. Hence, me. Okay. So YouTube, couple videos, right? Lisa and I I mentioned it last week, but I hadn't posted the video yet. We had a little fun night, went down, listened to Sturgill Simpson. Really good show. Didn't know anything about him. He's pretty country, and I'm not like a big country guy. And it's funny because Lisa's not really country either, but she heard him on Charlie Rose and said he was really intelligent and had a really good backstory. And she listened to some of his music and really liked it. So I thought, well, what the hell? Let's go. Great show. Had a super good time, but we went out to dinner and it was just like, wow, one night is not enough, clearly, but man, did it do some good. Like, really, just like, pretty great. I've been getting some, so go to those videos and subscribe while you're there. Okay, good. I am finishing up a cup of cold mushroom coffee. That goes bye-bye. Listen to this. This is me setting it on the table away from I don't even want it in arm's reach. There, bye-bye. And with my right hand, grabbing a travel mug because it's still hot. You guys see 167 episodes and now I'm planning ahead. Turmeric tea in a travel mug. I look like a commuter right now. That's what I look like. And it's pretty good. Hot though. That's the only problem with travel mugs is they just burn you repeatedly. They just never stop burning you. I've been getting some really nice emails of thanks. It was Thanksgiving weekend in the U.S. last weekend. I got some really sweet emails. And so thank you guys back, because it makes a huge... I always say this, but I just don't want to underestimate what a difference it makes in my life to get actual emails from people, to hear what they're doing. And these are not like emails... And I would be weird. It would be weird if they were, but they're not emails like "my life's perfect." After 145 episode, I just flick the switch and now it's done. It's like, here's where I am in my practice. Here's what I'm doing. This is the struggles I've had. I haven't been able to do this, but I've been able to do this. And it's like, that's the thing. That's great. If I got an email saying, "I listened to your podcast and I kind of blew off the small steps part, but I did listen to the macronutrient, micronutrient information, and I changed my diet last night overnight. And also you said that exercise was good, so starting today I'm going to 2 hours in the gym." That's me shutting down this podcast. That's me going, I am not communicating my approach nearly well enough, because somebody, they are not getting what I'm talking about, okay? Instead, I'm getting, here's the struggles, and I'm getting this kind of thing. I'm not beating myself up as much or at all. I realize like this is a process, so I'm not beating myself. I'm not feeling guilty. I'm taking better care of myself than I ever have before. I'm living better than I ever have. I don't hear perfection. I don't hear huge results, and I don't want to, because those mean I get nervous that they're going to crash, and I don't want anybody to crash. I want to hear, yeah, struggles, man, because guess who else is struggling? Freaking me, okay? So I mentioned last week that the book is happening. I've got a meeting with my publisher this Friday and with the editor and publisher. So I'm a little nervous about that, only because I've got some ideas about this book that I kind of came up to over the weekend, and it's a little bit unconventional. It's unconventional. Unconventional. And I think that my first book was definitely unconventional. So hopefully it won't be too big of a surprise, but I obviously want them to go, yeah, that's fantastic. But I'm a little bit more out of the box on this one than even Approaching the Natural. So we'll see what happens with that. But the bigger news, and this is why I wanted to mention this, is because mentioning sort of what I get in people's emails, I mentioned this in the most recent video about procrastination and just kind of the messaging. I in the video, I talk about how I kind of wish, or well, I just assumed it was going to be a lot. It's better. So I'm not going to say that I haven't made improvement, because I definitely have made improvement. But I had this unrealistic expectation again. Like, expectations is a big through line of this podcast. We have, in most cases, unrealistic expectations. We assume that, you know, for 3 months, if we've done something, then that should undo, you know, 50 years of behaviors. And I think that's just an expectation that just should just go right into the trash. I just thought when I'd sit down for a book, I would maybe not hear so loudly the messaging of the difficulty of writing, in terms of, I got to get it perfect. I need to dwell on it. It's such a hard thing. I know in my heart of hearts that I just have to get it out there, and then I can edit it. I just got to get it out there, and then I can edit it. But it's been slow going, because as I'm writing, I go, oh, I should go back and fix that paragraph. Oh, I should go back and fix that paragraph. And it's just, that's my internal battle. I am aware of it, and I am trying to work through it. How? You want to know? You want to know, because you want to know solutions? Sid, well, what the heck? What do you do about that? What I do about that is I remind myself now as I'm writing who I am in the picture, okay? There's a battle. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but there's a battle between two parts of me, and there's a clear winner, and that's the person that is actually me. And guess what? I'm the person who has the gumption and courage to throw it out on the freaking page, and then I'll go back and edit it later. I'm working with an editor, for crying out loud, but I don't want to deliver crap and make her just have to just wade through a bunch of crap. I want to get it to a certain point, sure. But that's me. And I'm the person, I'm just saying this right now, this was not me over the weekend. Just, can we be clear about that? If you're just joining me, the me, not me game is kind of it's almost like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde a little bit, except for you're clearly one of the other. It's not like, well, now I'm this guy, now I'm that guy. I know who I am. I just had a struggle with it over the weekend. Fine. First 2 days of my writing. Again, expectations, I'll get it. I've got confidence to say this is going to work itself out. I don't know that for sure. Of course not. But I have experience in my arsenal that I can say, okay, based on my past experience, the messaging of failure and perfection, I've got to get da 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 da, is I'm going to work in spite of all that crap. And I guess I just was hoping that it would be less, just because I don't want to struggle so much. I had a really good day of writing last Saturday, like really got in there and wrote the introduction, or at least some of it, and worked last night, but I just like Sunday kind of effed off a little bit, I kept saying I should work, and it was like, I could get into an ice bath. I could write my book, or I could get into an ice bath. And so I just got into an ice bath. That's the Wim Hof thing, you guys. I'm almost done, and I am so, can I tell you how ready I am? Can I tell you how ready I am to be done with that and to be over and done with my race? I mean, I think I would be totally fine with both if the book thing hadn't come through. Now that the book thing is happening, I am 150% brain power into the book. And it's really rough because I still got the tail end of the 50K that I'm running in 6 days and the Wim Hof program that I'm, you know, in the middle of week 9 of week 10. Like I'm so close on both those things. I can taste it, but I want to taste it and swallow it and then just be done with it because I just want to move on and have one thing to do. It'll be very interesting to see what my life is like when I can just go for a run for a couple miles and then go to work, right? Okay. I guess the only thing I would mention with regard to that, specifically to small steps, is I'll put it this way, and I wanted to mention it this week anyway, because I think the modern world is a battle. I look at it, I think I even did the Battleground episode many, many episodes ago. There's a lot of battling going on. There's a battle between maybe what we know deep down is who we are and what is right for us, and what we're told by doctors and marketing and pharmaceuticals and you know, advertising and all this kind of stuff, and by teachers and who knows, like all the places that were magazines that we're just getting bombarded with stuff. Could be right, could be wrong, I don't know, but it muddles our brain. It's like a battle is ensuing all day. And the winner, the clear winner every time is all of us individually, assuming, this is a big, huge assumption, that we know who the hell we are. That's how we stay true and how we stay tough in the context of just constant back and forth and struggle and conflict and just two opposite sides smashing in the middle. And we're in the middle of that a lot until we have a moment of perspective to say, I'm backing right back out of that puppy, because that's just not who I am. And I'm not going to even engage in that battle, tempting as it might be. So the battle that ensues is that kind of thing. And it's like, you know, on the surface, and one of the battles is what things look like to the outside world and what we know is going on inside. And that's a real battle too. In other words, you know, I'm running, I'm training for a race. Yeah. Tons of people do that. Big whoop-de-doo. I'm not running a ton of hours. You guys know, because you've hopefully, if you haven't listened to this podcast before, go back and listen to older episodes. But I really made an effort not to technically train for this race, which might be the dumbest thing I ever did, and I'll admit it if it is. But I haven't really trained. So it's not like I'm following a training plan and somebody's looking going, man, you're spending an inordinate amount of time. The Wim Hof program, it's 10 weeks. It's taking me like 14 weeks to do 10 weeks. Why? Because I do a lot of other stuff, and so I like training for a race, for instance. And so I'm taking more time to do each week, but I'm finishing each week for sure, like thoroughly. I want to do it. If I'm going to take something on, I want to freaking finish it for real, knowing that there's no – the cool thing about the Wim Hof program, by the way, is there's no end date like my company that I'll talk about in probably 4 months. But there's no end date like at the end of 10 weeks, you're going to be able to do this, this, and this. I mean, he is – also teaching a system, and I feel like I'm really learning that system. And even when I don't follow it, like I said last week, that day's task on that day, I do the exercises, the baseline exercises. And then when I can do the actual task when I have time, I'll do it. but again, from the outside, it's not a huge amount of time, but never underestimate the mental real estate that these kinds of things take up. Excuse me, it's all about that. It's never about, or rarely about, like the actual hours of running or the actual hours I've spent on the Wim Hof program. It's the, maybe if, and I'm not saying there is, but if there's stress around it. And there is stress around the race, by the way. It's like there's a lot less stress in this process because I didn't follow a training plan and didn't have the stress of like, oh my God, I got to get this in today. Like I just threw all that fully out in the trash, like gone. Not one day was I like, I have to get the interval training in today because I didn't have a training plan. It was up to me, which was a little wonky and a little uncomfortable, but that's what it was. And that's been a very interesting process, knowing I've got this goal and coming at it in a completely different way. I mean, couldn't be a more different way that I approached this time. Okay. And then that was on purpose. I just want to see how this plays out, right? Okay. I also hope that I'm smart enough not to just die. You know, like if I'm really not doing well, like I hope that I'm just be like, I'm okay with the not finishing. That would be like, if I'm really hurting that bad and I actually like walk away from it, I'm going to see that as a win because that's totally not my personality. My personality would be like, I'm going to push through this even if I have to lose a leg. And so, you know, that'll be interesting to see. Okay, good. Wow, that was, travel mugs they don't drink easily. And that sip, by the way, of turmeric tea, slightly medicinal. Okay. So anyway, the battle is that it's the perception of what's happening in your life, maybe from the outside looking in by other people, and what you know in your own head. And there's the mental real estate that takes up for you. So that's a balance that you work through. And hopefully you come to this podcast because it helps you deal with all that kind of stuff. It helps you get a sense of what's working for you, what's not, what the truth is, where you can make progress. One of the emails I got, which is interesting, from a longtime listener, a guy I met at the Stanford Inn years, like 2 years ago, but he's been listening to the email, listening to the podcast every week almost, I think. And he said, well, what happens when, do you ever hear this? And I haven't, but I totally wanted, it's a very interesting perspective, but he's like, now he's a small stepper such that he feels like almost he's too much weighing options all the time. He's too much as a small stepper, like, is this serving me? Am I taking on too much? Am I taking on too little? And I think he's maybe spending an inordinate too much time. And all I can say is a couple things. One is that this is new. Even if he's been doing this for 2 years, it's 2 years of his life. I don't know how old he is, but I know he's over 40. So 40 years of not doing this and learning in 2 years. So it's kind of a weird thing because you have to get used to this way of thinking. So dig, right? Ask yourself who you are, even as a small stepper. Are you somebody who has to deliberate a lot? Or are you somebody who goes, I don't spend much time deliberating. I look at the options and I pull the trigger because I know that, you know, it's too hard to, I could deliberate for the rest of my life and never act. There's a lot going on in this process, but I think that it still is obviously because I come here every week and I 100% believe this to be true. And I've seen so much success with so many people who work through this process. But if you're spending so much time deliberating and stuff, then I think that deserves some small steps to solve it. Sound weird? Like more deep breaths, like journaling, like going for runs. Like, here's my thing about small steps. I rarely am a takeaway type of practitioner. I rarely take things away. I do fill in with other things. I say if things are bogging you down and you're thinking almost too much, like you're too much in your head, then that's the time to do something artistic. That's the time to write a novel. That's a time to bring in something into your life that is life-sustaining and positive and fun, and that sort of naturally pushes the stuff out. It gets you a little bit out of your head. And there's that, again, small stepping is a mindset, but it's a mindset ultimately, if you practice it long enough, that frees you with a ton of time because there's less guilt. I've talked about this in the last 5 episodes, I think. There's less guilt. There's less negativity. There's less criticism. The more you act, and I think I even talked about it last week, like you play 1 minute of music, that's a significant decrease in the amount of guilt you might feel for not playing music anymore or ever, or if you want to, right? Okay. So it is sticking with it. It's about getting better at it. It's about, oh, all of a sudden I just weighed the options super fast and moved on. Like I realized I want to do journaling. I didn't think about how much should I do. I just threw one at the table. I said, threw one at the wall. Like, 5 minutes. I'm just going to start with 5 minutes because I know that if it's too much, I'll back it back down. If it's too little, I'll know. And on that note, I wanted to mention this. I get a lot of practical questions of like, okay, well, I started with a small step and it's this size. But I want to increase it, or if it's too much, how do you know? It's ultimately, and this is very practical stuff here, guys. This is this once in a while I dive into the actual system. That's what I'm doing here right now. Okay, so bear with me and hopefully this will help some people listen. Okay. If there's no set time, but I will say this, if you put a step on your list because you thought journaling is going to be good for you, and I think it's fantastic, but let's say you think journaling is good for you. And so you've done this a while, and so you know that it ultimately doesn't really matter what the initial size is because, again, you have the freedom. You're free from the idea of failure. You're free, liberating. It's freedom, man, on every level, okay? You're free from the idea of perfection. You just want to journal. So you throw one at the wall. I'll start with 5 minutes a day. Maybe a good starting point would be maybe check in three, put it on your list, okay? Start today. And if you can't start today, it's probably too much. If you literally can't start today, you probably took on too much. If you said an hour per journaling and you at 10 o'clock at night, that's when you made that decision, you're not going to do an hour of journaling. And I would say back it back down, something you can start today. 1 minute, one sentence of journaling. I did one sentence of journaling today. Got to work, sat down at my desk, and did one sentence of journaling. Did I tell you last week I was going to do it one sentence a day? Yeah, that's what I did today. It took, 30 seconds. However, let's say you put that step on your list. In 3 to 4 days, let's say. Okay? 3 to 4 days. Okay, I'm sorry, and apologies for the horn and the dog barking. Like, what am I, living in New York over here? It's crazy. Let's say 3 to 4 days, you look back and you go, okay, in the last 3 to 4 days, either one of two things has happened. Three things. One, pulled off 5 minutes a day, just no problem. 3 to 4 days, boom, 5 minutes a day, just easy as pie. Okay. And you're going to, okay, second scenario. I'm not even going to get to that yet. Second scenario, one or two of the 4 days. Okay. That you pulled off five minutes. Okay. Third scenario, not once. Not once did you do it. Okay, not once. Now, if it was the third scenario and you did not do one time, you're going to hear 99% chance in your head, I should be able to do 5 minutes a day. Just tell that person to shut up. Just say shut. Just shut your pie hole. That's what I would say. Just shut your pie hole, because this ain't about should. If after 3 to 4 days you haven't done it once, your step is too big. Okay. The idea of the endpoint is that it is so easy to do that it's, you almost can't not do it. And even though it could be 10 seconds, that could still be hard. That's when I always recommend things like alarms on your phone, putting the journal in a place that you're going to see it, leaving a note on your bathroom mirror, like all these kinds of actual practical things. Do I wish it didn't happen, Abby? Yes. Okay. I got it, but it does. Fine. Whatever. Do whatever it takes. This is your life. This is your freaking life. And if you start it and you can pull off 5 minutes a day after 4 days and you're like, yeah, this is the easiest thing in the world, like easiest, then there's your signal. Boom. Up it. Well, how much should I up it, Sid? You're a small stepper. So should we do it in the smallest increment possible? Yes. Do it in a thousandth of a second. Do 1,000th of a second more journaling. So it's like it's the dot of the A. Okay. No, of course not. You up it as much as you want to up it. Again, you're still in that space of like, well, if I can do 5, no problem. Maybe I can do 20, no problem. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with people making big gains in their steps. And often they do, but sometimes they don't. Guess who makes that decision? You make that decision. So after 4 days, if you've done nothing, then obviously, boom, bring it back down. And I mean small. If you've done it every day, no problem. Double it, triple it. I don't know. Add 1 minute. It's up to you. If you go 5 minutes, it was kind of good, but I can see how it might be stressful for me to do 20. So fine. Now the in-betweener, the little tweener, the little 1 to 2, couple ways you can go on that. One is that ultimately, and I've talked about this 1,000 times, so if you're just joining me, please bear with me on this one. Actually, if you're just joining me, then you're going to want to hear this. MOTT, you're most of the time, you're MOTT. I talk about this all the time because this is the small steppers, one of their anthems is the MOTT song. I don't even know how it goes. It's minimal. Most of the time. It all these steps are your most of the time. You try to jump into the whole perfection of, I got to do that. Now I got to journal every day and I can never miss a day. Then you turn into who I was 5 years ago, rupturing my Achilles tendon on a training run. So again, that's not me. I'm not militant. I have my steps. And if I miss a day, I don't care. Do I sometimes care? Do I feel like I care? Yes, but I don't. And so it keeps me on track. It keeps me not feeding that beast. I don't want to feed that beast. I don't want to feed the militancy beast. It's in me. I don't want to feed the perfection beast that's in me. I don't want to feed the freaking, you can't have to write the perfect sentence before I move on to the next sentence beast. I don't want to feed that guy. He keeps me from doing stuff. I've been pretty good about not feeding that guy. And I've been much better over time feeding the guy who produces and does stuff and acts. Got it? Okay. So if you're in that middle place of 1 to 2 times of the 4 days, you can either say, that's my most of the time and I'm good. Let me see how this floats a little longer. Or you could say, well, that's half time. And so maybe in the beginning, I really do want to make it most of the time, like maybe most of the days of a week, 5 to 6 days a week I'm doing it. I miss 1 day, big deal. So I'm going to bring the step back down. That's how you do it. Okay, it's very easy. I'll put it this way. It's easier said than done. Okay, because you're not just being able to make those decisions so easily because we're trained, I talked about last week, we're trained to constantly push forward. And if we get to a certain point, the idea of coming back is miserable. So it isn't easy. It's easy, but it's not easy. Conceptually, no problem. Implementation, that's why I come here every week. I come here every week because of implementation. I come here every week because of implementation. That's knowledge, again, whoop-de-frickin-do. Learn it fast. Great. Got it. I got to do something about it. Let me learn some more before I act. Let me learn some more. I got to learn some. I'm not ready to act yet. I got to get more data gathering. I got to gather more data before I can act. Yeah. One point I wanted to make last week about this, and this is on this subject, by the way, I just didn't get to it last week, but in the drug culture, and I have likened Lightbox Foods to drugs, and I want to say, like, sincerely that what I don't really mean that, except for I totally do mean it. I do mean it. I'm doubling down on my point. And in that sense, I take drugs because I do eat some Lightbox food. But the point is that in the drug culture, and that includes, again, alcohol, Lightbox food, drugs, everything else, the sell, or at least the reality, is the more you do, the more you need. Almost with every drug, like, you want to do it more. That's the hook, right? You get the drug, you get the feeling, you want it more and more and more and more. And in a sense, in most drugs, we need to do more of that actual thing to give us the same pleasure. That's how we fall into the rabbit hole of eating junk food all the time, because we have a comparative high. And then when we eat something healthy, we don't get that high. Of course, we get a long-term life of healthy and fun and vibrancy, but we can't dial that. We can't calculate that in the moment. We want to get the high. We've seen the light and we want to get that in the moment next time. And then we get that and then it falls away because it's not long lasting. So we want it again and again and again and again. We get hooked on the feeling and increase our intake. Hooked on the feeling and increase our intake. The good news, guys, is that the world is so designed to keep the drugs a-coming. I don't mean literally good news. I just mean it's easier and cheaper, and therefore the state of the human species as it is today. But I want to make the point that pleasure works both ways. It does. It works on the increase of drugs because you keep getting more and more pleasure because you're doing more and more drugs. But it also works on the decrease. It just looks differently. This is the battle, again, that I mentioned before. This is the battle between the perception and look of something and the true reality of what's occurring in your own life. There's sometimes remarkable differences between those two things. And as you decrease the junk food, you think there's not a chance in hell this is going to be good for me. That is the I could never give up cheese idea, is that it's you know, I'm going to take the Pepto-Bismol because the idea of not having a hot dog is miserable. And again, there's a leap of faith. Because the fact is this, that when you decrease, you empower. When you decrease and you make a choice about what you know deep down, by the way, is better for you, you freaking know it, so don't even try to act like you don't. Well, there's protein in chicken McNuggets. Sound familiar? Okay, because you know better. You already know better. You know better. And so now when you start decreasing it, your expectation, here we go, is it's I'm going to be miserable for a while. I'm going to be miserable, except that when you don't do it one time, you go, holy crap, I am strong. I have power in me, willpower even. I have strength I didn't realize I had. That feels good. And that's a feeling too. And that's a feeling, guess what? You're going to want more of. And the benefit of that feeling is that it is long-lasting. It is empowering. It is about vibrancy and happiness and health. That's a pretty amazing thing. But you got to dive in on it. You got to dive in on it. And it's like I said last week, that it's just a struggle. And I'm telling you that like my ultra marathon this Saturday, here's what I know 100%. You might think positively, Sid. It's going to be a struggle. That I know. And this is like what I've talked about before, this sort of controlled struggle, controlled discomfort, intentional struggle, because people say, I've said it before, why would you do that to yourself? I'm not doing something to myself. I'm not causing myself pain in one way I am. But in the bigger picture, I am proving to myself the strength that I have. I am in a controlled, safe way, putting myself into a discomfortable position and seeing how well I can work through it. And notice, and I'm not lying when I say, if I DNF, they call it DNF, did not finish. If I DNF this race, it won't be for lack of a learning experience. And it'll on one hand will suck. And on the other hand, I'll be able to, here's me of this. I'm going to laugh about it. Go, okay, well, now we know, Sid, that didn't work. More on that when I probably discuss it later. But not having a training plan had definitely like low stress benefits to it, but it also didn't keep me as much on task. And I actually ran a lot less than I thought I would run. And so that was an interesting thing. So we'll see how it plays out. I could win the race. I mean, I may win the race. I'm not saying that. I just might win the race. Okay? All right. Last thing. Last point. Actually, you know what? I'm diving right in. I'm going to come into because this whole battle and this whole thing that I've been sort of skating around is about the subject of this week's podcast. So I want to dive into it right now. The episode title is Steer the Ship. Okay? Steer the Ship. For those of you who don't know, I was a philosophy major and I got a bachelor's degree in philosophy. And I remember my first philosophy class I ever took was on Descartes. It was like philosophy 101. And I'd never taken a philosophy class. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew that I didn't want to be an economics major. I didn't want to be a political science. These are actual majors I had. Didn't want to be a political science major. And then I didn't want to be an English major. I had to take some general ed classes. I was at UCLA. And one of them was philosophy. And I thought, well, I've never done that before. I'll just sign that up. And did. And I sat in that room. And I will tell you that on day one, I was home. Just knew, did day one. Just boom. I think, therefore, I am. Descartes. Remember, I was just like, holy crap, my ship has come in. It was such a departure from everything that I had learned ever in my whole life. It was just a head explosion kind of thing. Now, philosophy major at UCLA has its drawbacks. Okay, you get a little bit too, it's at some point becomes more about studying philosophers than actual philosophy. That would be my only critique. But I was of a place in my life that I also really wanted to extract the philosophy itself and not be, I mean, I did well as that discipline. I did very well, but I also got some thought out of it. And what I realized is that this whole process that later came into play with regard to the health and happiness approach that I crafted was to get people to juggle between stepping into specifics and backing out into perspective. And that, again, this is the battle that I referenced earlier in this episode, is step into the specifics. And that means, okay, I'm going to get into diet a little bit. I'm going to get into journaling a little bit. I'm going to exercise a little bit. I'm going to deep breathing meditation. Okay, now I'm going to back out and look at my life. Now I'm going to back in and I'm going to adjust my little step here with music and I'm going to adjust my step with food, but backing back out. And I pop back out. And when that email from that guy, you know, that's what I'm talking about, is you get very good about jumping in on a specific, jumping back out. You're always jumping out. The problem, as I see it, one of the many problems in our inability to be healthy and happy, is that we jump into specifics and just stay there. We jump into whatever it is that floats our boat, food or exercise or meditation or whatever, and we stay there. And we don't branch out in a way. There might be something that we love, and that's maybe our job or our passion, but not at the expense of the things that round us out. And that's the perspective. That's the jumping in, jumping out. The steer the ship thing, the analogy there is that a ship needs a captain. A ship needs a captain. And the captain, he or she cannot spend their time in the engine room, fixing the engine and making it oiled and making it oiled. This is my mechanics. You guys with me? Dude, don't make me bring back Randy, because he does know about ship engines. He does. But the captain can't spend time in the engine room. The captain can't spend time in the kitchen working on the menu and making sure that the food's being prepared. The captain has to be steering the entire thing, the entire vessel. That's you. That's me. Or not, but that's success is predicated on our ability to steer our own ship, not always to steer the one thing. The captain may have to jump down to the engine room and say, "Hey, this is not working. Fix that. You got and direct that whole thing." But then they're back up into the freaking cockpit that may exist or not on a ship. I don't know. It's on the port starboard side, I'll tell you that much. But the captain has to come back out and say, okay, I fixed that thing, you, but I've got to be up here because I got to oversee the whole bad boy. I got to steer this entire rig. What that means for us in the modern world is a challenge, doesn't it? Because we're the captain, but we don't have a crew that is taking care of the food in the kitchen and the engine over there and the this and that. We are all of it. We're the captain, and we're the person who is involved in each specific aspect of our lives. And we've got to figure out a way, if we want to be healthy and happy, of managing both of those roles as fluidly and as efficiently as possible. We have to be able to say, sometimes I need to dive in this one area, but never too long that when I am done with that, I have the ability to jump right back out and say, okay, is this fitting? Okay, what about these other things? Because I need to attend to them now. And even when I'm done attending to them, I then have to back out and look at everything. And it becomes, as you practice this, my small steps approach, okay, it becomes second nature. And that's the email I got from that guy. It does become second nature. And if you're not happy because you're thinking too much, you're not steering your ship. You got to get back out and say, am I living happy? If I'm happy and healthy and I'm feeling really good, fine. If I'm not, if I'm stressed by the process, then you are in charge of changing that process. That is the stepsless becoming in charge of the person instead of the person becoming in charge of the stepsless. Oftentimes I have facts on my side, by the way. And the fact of the matter is, there could be a battle between the stepsless being in charge, or the training plan being in charge of you, and you being in charge of the training plan. But the fact of the situation is that you're in charge of the training plan. The training plan isn't real. It's not alive. It's not dictating anything to you. It's words on a paper, even a stepsless words on a piece of paper. The fact is you're in charge of it. That's a fact. Just like I say, I'm not giving anybody strength. I don't make somebody strong. I just help them get the knowledge of their own strength. That's all. I'm just good at, hey, you absolutely can do this. Let's just do it together for a little short time and then send you on your way because you got this. But I don't go like, I'm going to make you stronger. I'm going to go like, let's peel some crap away. Let's stop with the all or nothing kind of mindset and bring in a small steps mindset of action, not reaction, of self-care at every step of the way, and then you see for yourself, holy crap, I can do this. I don't have to eat junk food all the time. I do survive by eating healthy food and feel freaking powerful when I do it. And now I can eat junk food now and then and still feel okay, not shamed and guilted and everything else that comes with all those kinds of things. There has to be in this picture, and that is so often missing from true health and happiness, a freaking captain of the ship. We are being shifted from the paleo diet to the vegan diet to the Atkins diet to the Mediterranean diet to the South Beach diet to the whatever diet's coming down the pike, because guess what, guys? There's going to be another one. We are bounced from the P90X to the T25 to the gym membership to the spin class to the running to the yoga to the rebounding. We are bouncing from this self-help theory to this self-help theory. We're bouncing from this child-rearing theory to this child-rearing theory. Somehow, this all shifts. I was just talking to Jeff Stanford about this the other day. Like, Dr. Spock, who was like the king of, you know, child-rearing, had, back in the 70s when I was a kid, that manifesto that he put out, whatever it's called, it was like, let your baby cry it out. That was his thing. And that just set the tone. Like, let your baby cry it out. Like, if the baby's in the other room and they're crying, like, let them cry it out. He himself changed his own mind. Years later, millions of kids crying it out. And now he's like, actually, no. That changes. And I think that when you have somebody, you are steering your own ship, you're not as susceptible to the market shifts that are going to happen, to the shifts in the books and the shifts in the TV shows and the shifts in the magazines. We get bonkers because we do go from diet to diet. We do go from fad to fad. It's just crazy. It's crazy making, I'll put it that way. And we go big time into this one thing and big time into that other thing. And meanwhile, the captain's just dealing with minutia and not outside of it and not looking at the big picture, you looking at the big picture of your life. This is the struggle of the small stepper. This is the struggle, more importantly, of the human in the modern world, is that we are in a battle because of how nutty nut the world is and what we know to be true in ourselves. That's a back and forth, and the world can take us over so quickly. The news can take us, our lives, it can hijack our lives. Children can hijack our, we love kids, I love my kids. But my wife and I have to make a line. There's a line at which we have to say, we got to take like that little night out. Like that was a thing. Like we have got to do this. And Lisa, you can see in the video, like she was hesitant to go and she's the one that planned it. And she was like, I don't know if I want, because it's so hard to make that break. And it's someone was like, no. And as soon as we got on the road, she was like, her whole energy changed. It was completely like, ugh. We have to find, if we steer the ship, we know when things aren't working in their entirety, and we know when things need to change, when we can build in moments of perspective enough to see it. But if we get mired in the minutia, if the captain is in the engine room all the time, the ship crashes, because the ship needs to be steered. It cannot exist. The engine room means nothing if nobody is steering the ship. And that's why diet and food really ultimately for your happiness means squat if there's nobody steering your ship. If you're all about food, then you're going to be militant, then you're going to be susceptible to diet after diet, then you're going to think that you're a failure because you can't stick to anything long-term because it's not you and never was, and you're going to be feeling this pressure and guilt every day of your life when if you back out, you can realize I'm doing too much of that one thing. It's overtaking me. It's out of balance. I've got to bring in other parts of my life to make my overall life happy. Then you look at the other parts of your life and you say, okay, well now I'm going to spend a little time here and then I'm going to back out. And then a little time there, I'm going to back out. We have to, and I'm hesitant with have to's. I'm just saying, you want health and happiness, steer your ship. First, before you make an action in any particular place in your life, and that goes for family, work, diet, exercise, meditation, journaling, creativity. All the things I talk about in my book. Before you make a single action in any of those specific places, decide where you want your ship to go. Where are you going to steer this ship? Then every one of those little things gets put into place to make that happen the best way you can. And then you begin the actions of a little action here, making sure this is good. Fix, oops, that needs fixing. Let me attend to that for a short period of time. Get that up to speed. Okay, good. We're good. Okay, good. Got the music thing. I'm playing music every week. I'm liking that. I'm going to set that, leave that there. Okay, good. I'm going to go over here. Oh, haven't been eating well. I've been stressed at work. This needs attention. Work probably more than the food needs attention. I got to see if there any way I can mail. Maybe I have a deep breath on the way to work. And it makes me a little less stressed. Maybe I'll get some better sleep. I'll go to sleep a little bit earlier. I'm going to knock out the news because that's keeping me stressed at night. And then I'm on a screen. So I'm staying up too late. And I've got this bright light in my face. And boy, you can only see those things when you are steering your ship and you have a bird's eye view of all the parts of your life. That's how you see the patterns and problems and issues. That's how you see them. You can't see them when you're mired in the specifics. You can't do it. The big decisions have to be made by someone. There has to be someone in charge of any, essentially, organization. It's like a company without a CEO. Everybody's doing their thing, but they have no overall direction, and ultimately the company will tank, period. You have to have some, even with somebody in charge, it could tank, but you got to have that thing. You got to have that thing. That defining principle that lays on top of everything else that says, this is about my happiness and my health and my living this life the best that I can. And all the minutiae is to feed that beast, not any other things, and certainly not to feed themselves. Diet isn't for diet's sake. It's for you being happy. Exercise is not for exercise's sake. It's for you being happy, and so on and so forth. Steer your ship. Steer your ship. Small stepping means learning how to steer it better. Small stepping means you get an idea of how to do that better over time. You may not ever reach the just, I got it, but you learn how to do it better over time. And you start to see what that looks like. And it's pretty freaking exciting. And it is addictive. That's addictive in the very, very best way. That's the way that when you get there, you never want to go back because it's too freaking good. And we think that for most of us, that's too far. It's pie in the sky. Can't get there. Forget it. I'll do nothing. We know what happens when that happens. You don't do anything. But when you just take it easy on yourself, know where you want your ship to go, and start making little adjustments in all the areas, and then every so often jump back out, assess, how am I doing? Journaling, good tool for this. How's my overall life? Am I going in the right direction for me? If not, what needs to be fixed? If I am, is there something I could do more, or am I kind of okay with the speed at which I'm traveling right now? All right? All right, you guys. More on this, because I'm going to come back. This is not over, because this is a freaking process. Don't I know it? Over the weekend, just hearing all the crazy in my brain about that. And I want to write tonight, and I'm nervous about it. It's like, oh, just, you know, I'm feeling it. And I'm just trying to give myself a little bit of a pass. I'm only 3 days in. Okay. All right, you guys. You guys are awesome. podcast@sidgarzahillman.com is where you would email me if you felt so inclined to ask me any questions or give me some feedback. I love hearing it. You know me. It's like great. So great. I get an email, random email. Is it spam? No, it's not. It's freaking fantastic, I say to myself. I'll be here next week, you guys, with episode number 168 of the Approaching the Natural podcast. In the meantime, until next week, you guys, be well. Protecting.
life just half and discarded. Your head hangs low when you are alone, the facing of all that's wrong just steals your breath. It just steals your breath. And once when the fire dies, after all the hysterical and all the things you thought you'd get back, you think this is a prison, but it isn't. Feels like it's sleeping, but it's too much awake. And if you'd gone the other way, you'd be sitting nice and safe, pulling your hair out and shutting your eyes out, and shutting your eyes. And again, when it all peels away, it's what you're left with. And the decision of where to go is not a decision. And this stomping around.